Natasha Ladipova is an ex-pharma employee and biotech expert with 25 years of industry experience in clinical trials, clinical technologies, and regulatory approvals. She's owned and managed several contract research organizations and worked with over 60 pharmaceutical companies throughout her career, also interacting with the FDA as part of that, and as part of a scientific industry consortium on improving cardiac safety assessments in clinical trials. What Sasha has found through her extensive research of DoD contracts authorized under the Obama, Trump, and Biden administrations is truly shocking and proves how all of these so-called regulators, including the FDA, TGA, and those all around the world, are simply paid actors carrying out the depopulation agenda, which has been implemented largely by the DoD. This is truly bombshell information and could be a huge game changer. Here's Sasha now. Sasha, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Maria, for inviting me. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Well, likewise, and I've been reviewing your work. I think that the information that you're presenting to the world isn't getting nearly enough attention. You've been working with Team Enigma, and I just before we get started into all of the bombshell revelations that you're about to drop about the fraud and the level of fraud and these paid actors and the theater that we are living in, I just would like the audience to get a bit of understanding about why it is that you are qualified to talk on these things. Explain to the audience a bit about your background.
So I'm a private citizen, and so all of my work is independent analysis and my own investigation, and using meeting people and speaking to people and other experts, and all of it is based on publicly available information, which was originally available or got released through FOIA. And the reason, you know, I'm qualified to speak about it is because I spent all of my professional life in pharmaceutical research and development, medical devices also, and, mostly in the US, but I worked all over the world with various regulatory agencies, FDA, European, Japanese. I worked for clients, pharmaceutical companies. I had, about 60, 70 different small and large pharmaceutical companies, including Pfizer as my clients and investor in my two of my businesses. We performed clinical trials for these companies all over the world. Most recently, my focus was on safety testing, specifically cardiovascular safety. And I just basically professionally know this space and how the drugs are supposed to be developed, what regulations exist, how you're supposed to comply with what, and also the regulatory frameworks that are relevant here.
Yes. So, I mean, anyone watching this at this point, Sasha, and most people who have been searching for the truth over these past 2 years especially, would know at this point that this was not only fraudulent but a very sinister plan. The way that you present the evidence of these two very real facts is crucial for everyone to see. And I really think that it will serve as people who aren't aware of the fact that this was pre-planned to really wake up to the fact that it was. So let's start with your work with Team Enigma, identifying the batches. I've already previously interviewed Dr. Mike Eden on this subject, and most people are aware of this, but if you can just give us a brief overview of your work with Team Enigma and what work has been done into the batches before we move on.
Right. So that's how I first got into the analysis of this. I became concerned very early on with what was going on, especially with suppression of early treatments. And that was just atrocious, in my opinion. And that alarmed me. And I started looking into this situation more closely. So I first started looking into VAERS database, because it's a CDC vaccine adverse event reporting system, which is publicly available. And that system contains lot numbers or batch numbers for vaccines. I started looking into that and how the adverse event reports and deaths reports were very highly variable by each batch of the of these mRNA vaccines. I did get together with a number of people, including Mike Eden, and we called ourselves Team Enigma, And we, you know, we collaborated and we did analysis and discussed it for several months. And eventually, so the analysis revealed that these products do not comply at all with good manufacturing practices because the variability was thousands of times higher, lot to lot of batch to batch, than is expected from a well-manufactured product that's complying with good manufacturing practices. And good manufacturing practices is a set of laws. It's a very extensive set of laws in the US, and there's similar legislation in the Western world where, you know, it's all designed to control how the product is made, the quality of the product and consistency, specifically purity and potency. It throughout the whole manufacturing chain, from raw materials to intermediate pieces, supplies, and final assembly and shipping, and also in distribution. So that's supposed to be traced through the distribution so that if anything happens with administration of this product, then we can trace back throughout the whole system and all the way to the raw material suppliers and figure out which piece is wrong, what went wrong, where there's a problem, and what needs to be fixed. And obviously, it's a hugely complex system and a very complex set of laws that apply to it. And if you follow that more or less, you know, there's always room for improvement. But if you follow that more or less, like we found with traditional flu vaccines, they seem to be manufactured to those standards and they didn't vary much at all. Lots over time, different manufacturers, different sizes of lots. The performance was very consistent. They did not vary much at all. There was about like 5 to 10 adverse event reports per lot over a very long history.
And again, I just want to pause you here. These systems exist for the purpose of organizations such as the FDA, organizations such as the TGA, to monitor the safety of these products. And traditionally, and we all know this, traditionally, should something present with safety signals, these types of systems would exist for the purpose of, okay, too many safety signals, we need to reevaluate. And this is what was happening with these systems, and yet it was ignored, skewed, and the public were lied to. We know this.
Exactly. And it was consistently ignored by every single regulatory. By the way, all these systems exist. First of all, the manufacturers themselves have these systems. And they, most of the time, they detect it themselves. And vast majority of product recalls are voluntary by the manufacturer. And you probably know, and you probably got, you know, messages from your car dealer or car manufacturer saying that this part was recalled in your vehicle. Well, that's because they have those systems themselves. And they monitor them and they figure out something's wrong and they recall a part or a product. Same happens for the pharmaceutical products.
Well, the
And
same
it,
happens, Sasha, for a head of lettuce. If there's one defective head of lettuce in the country, every head of lettuce will be pulled off the shelves until they figure out what went wrong.
exactly. So that's exactly right. So and these systems exist, you know, in the US, both at federal, state, and local county level. Health authorities do that. So for these products, we actually, you know, I found one news report in Orange County, California. The health authority accidentally did their job. And on January 18th, 2021, which is just 2 weeks after the full rollout of these shots in the United States, they detected a problem with a lot of Moderna. And they said there were too many, well, they call it allergic reactions. But then, and there was, it was in, reported in numerous news outlets, including on CNN. And then nothing happened. And that lot was continued to be distributed all over the United States until end of March, until it ran out. And I counted in their system over 3,000 adverse event reports for it and 60 deaths. So on January 18th, they detect an issue. They do nothing and they kill 60 people at least. We know Varys is underreported.
Yes.
So after that occurrence, everything else should be considered intentional. And by the way, throughout the world, because
Indeed.
this product is distributed throughout the world and wherever it's sold in every country, this should be noted by the regulators and nobody did anything.
So, all right, now we get to the crux of the issue here, because you just said something to me before we started speaking online that is shocking. But also, I'm not surprised, But I want you to explain to me and to the audience exactly how this fraud came about in terms of the regulators playing the role of the regulator, but not actually being regulators. They know, and they're just part of the theater.
Yes. So this is a very critical piece, and I advise everyone to, you know, I got this information from my through my friend and colleague Catherine Watt. She's also a private citizen and a very deep and experienced researcher in legal matters. So she writes Substack. It's called Bailiwick News. I advise everyone to go read it. And so this is, you know, she calls it American Domestic Bioterrorism Program, but it's actually American International Bioterrorism Program, because it includes many other countries where American products, these products have been distributed. So she revealed a very, you know, this whole scheme, which is actually quite simple. The United States government and Department of Defense are running this program. United States government over many years, and this goes back to, you know, a decade, they put in place three key pieces where they removed the regulations that we just discussed. They removed the good manufacturing practice requirements and all safety monitoring requirements for what they call countermeasures. So they call these things countermeasures. These, by the way, these vaccines or not vaccines, injections, they're classified as countermeasures. And countermeasures is a euphemism for weapons. So Department of Defense has the right to order these countermeasures, meaning weapons, from private manufacturers, meaning Pfizer, Moderna, and a whole bunch of their own suppliers. There's like hundreds of companies that make this. And these are emergency use authorized, so no regulations apply to them. And this happens under public health emergency. So three things. You have a DOD, other transactional authority whereby they contract with private manufacturers. They make countermeasures, which are emergency use authorized, and this happens under public health emergency. So when those conditions are met, no regulations apply whatsoever. The only standard for releasing them or deploying them is United States Health and Human Services head, which is secretary, which is at the time when that started was Alex Azar under Trump administration. And now currently it's Javier Becerra. It's up to that person's sole discretion to deploy these weapons if they feel that they may be effective. That's it. There's no other standard that applies.
Okay.
That's all that needs to happen.
So this person that had, are we talking now about, say, Operation Warp Speed, for example?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes. So this is Operation Warp Speed, which is a DOD operation, Department of Defense operation, that they set up. Department of Defense is explicitly chief operating officer of this whole organization, which is called Operation Warp Speed. There's a layer of U.S. government that designs, develops, manufactures these products, and pharmas are just suppliers. They execute on the orders. Okay. But everything is designed, developed, manufactured by the oversight is DOD, and then they release these. But the legal structure is that once they made these things, then HHS Secretary Alex Azar, if he decides that they may be effective, they can be released on the market. So notice that this is all done by DOD under command of the DOD with their suppliers and network and so forth. DOD is not regulated by FDA. It's not regulated by good manufacturing practices or good distribution practices, does not have to run clinical trials, does not have to demonstrate safety and efficacy. And by the way, for these products, no clinical trials are needed because HHS Secretary declares them may be effective. That's it. They don't have to be safe.
I have and a question for you. I just want to pause there about Alex Azar. So this person that has the authority to consider that something may be effective. Mm-hmm. Do they have to present the president at the time with evidence of that? Or do they just given the power to make that call?
The law doesn't say so. It says that it's up to HHS secretary, and he or she, that specifically says in the law, he or she may deem these, you know, they can examine all the scientific evidence that is available, if it is available, and then he or she decides if it may be effective. So that's after this own, the sole discretion of this person, is the way that the law is written. And so under Trump administration, Alex Azar was that person who pulled that trigger, and he said that they may be effective. And so, but the point is that FDA does not play any role here, as you can see. So what FDA has been doing all this time is acting and playing a theater and pretending to be a regulator. So they're impersonating a regulator when they have no role to regulate these products. And that's the fraud that has been committed on all of us. So they're impersonating a regulator. We also have leaked emails where we see that the FDA pressured the European Medicines Agency to approve these things also on specific schedule. And they created this whole panic and rush and saying, oh my God, you know, if we don't approve by Christmas of 2020, you know, the world will come to an end. And so they've done the same thing. They pushed the European regulators, who are also quite aware. I don't think they're amateurs, and they probably investigated the legal structure of this too. And then, you know, they probably did the same in Australia. They did the same everywhere else where they pushed this garbage. You know, that's the fraud. So all the regulators, so that's why everybody's having this frustration, you know, going and speaking about safety and efficacy, and there's no safety, there's no efficacy. We always see these adverse events, and every study after study shows all these, you know, damage. And we also have, you know, bodies piling up, there is excess mortality everywhere, drops in infertility everywhere, you know, huge numbers. And we're going to the regulators and we are saying, look, you know, you have this data, how can you, you know, can we investigate it? And the response comes back, we've done rigorous assessment, they're safe and effective. Go away, peasant. That's it, because they're acting, they're not regulating, they're pretending, they're stalling everyone so that we keep going there and barking up their own tree.
This is truly one of the most fascinating interviews that I've done. We'll be back right after this short break with a message from one of the sponsors of this show, our friends at Goldco. The last time the economy looked this bad, the stock market tanked. The economy collapsed and inflation hit record highs. But at the same time, the price of gold shot up 1,300%. It could happen again. Can you afford to miss what could be the biggest gold and silver boom of our generation? Not to mention, precious metals can potentially safeguard your future with tangible assets rather than just digits on your bank manager's screen, which could disappear at the press of a button. Visit the link in the description below or call 855-913-0814. That's 855-913-0814 to protect your retirement savings and get up to $10,000 in free silver. This offer is exclusive to the United States. So if you're in the US, call and protect your wealth today. That makes perfect sense. And it makes perfect sense as to why court cases go nowhere. It makes perfect sense as to why you know, they're able to make those statements because of the fact that they're just playing a role here. So we're saying now, we're saying that the main perpetrator here is the DOD. Who else? And I mean, you're confident of that because you've actually looked into the contracts, historical contracts where this was planned.
Yes. So there's a lot of contracts that are available through, well, the ones that I saw available through the Securities and Exchange Commission, you know, in the US, the publicly traded companies have to disclose material contracts and agreements with their shareholders. So these contracts become available because they're, you know, highly material. They got billions of dollars, millions of dollars in contracts to develop. And it's not just the vaccines, it's everything. In the US, I found contracts for about 400 contracts for everything. Vaccines, monoclonal antibodies, the masks even, swabs, tests, kits, staffing, logistics, everything related to COVID. And all of them are with Department of Defense and BARDA, which is a kind of a biologics arm of the Department of Defense, and that they give different grants and contracts for development of these kinds of things. These contracts are all essentially with Department of Defense, or a combination of Department of Defense, BARDA, and Health and Human Services, but they're all the same under the public health emergency. They actually merge into the same organization. They always report to the executive branch of the government, so they're part of the same thing, but now they're even more merged into one.
And how far back do these contracts go, Sasha?
So they go back, like the ones that I read go back to 2012 at least, but they're probably, you know, much, much longer than that. The earliest one I read, 2012, is for this company called Emergent BioSolutions. And Emergent BioSolutions is a known, you know, longstanding Department of Defense contractor. They were actually originally owned by the United States government. They were privatized at some point. They were always making, the biologics vaccines for the government. They got privatized. They're now, you know, privately owned, but they continue contracting. And they're exclusive manufacturer of anthrax vaccine, which has always been very problematic, as you know.
Indeed.
And they are notoriously known for never complying with good manufacturing practices. They keep being, you know, found in violation of these things by the FDA audits, and nothing is ever done about it. And most recently, they actually were the manufacturer for AstraZeneca and Janssen vaccine in the U.S. And then they were found, and you know, there was most recent FDA audit for them in 2021, and I have a form that's called Form 483 for them, issued by the FDA, which finds huge number of, like, you know, insane violations of sanitary norms, you know, like the traceability, the people never, like, people are supposed to, these things are supposed to be produced in aseptic conditions because you can't sterilize them. And you're supposed to have like clean room environment and very strict protocols for when people go in and go out, and they have to change the gowns and everything and sterilize everything. None of this happens. They just go in and out. They smoke in there. They're really bad. Like the security cameras show that they just waltz back and forth. Anybody can go in. Security is not maintained. And nothing happens. Absolutely nothing happens to them. They always continue manufacturing as they have been.
So I want to ask you, just back on some of these contracts dating back to 2012, that would have been during the time of Barack Obama, surprise, surprise. Mm-hmm. The HHS secretary arrangement that you were mentioning before, where they have the authority to just make decisions exclusively themselves, which, I mean, is the biggest conflict of in a society where everyone was a moral human being and actually doing the right thing, sure, no problem. But these people are installed on behalf of the globalists. So it is the most dangerous thing to give anyone, one individual, that sort of power to make those sorts of decisions, just like what we're trying to do with terrorist Tedros in the WHO right now. Not what we're trying to do, what they're trying to do, I should say. But I want to ask about this HHS secretary decision. When was that made? When was that person? When did they put in writing, that's the person that has control?
So I don't remember a specific date. Hold on, let me look up. So there is a reference to, you know what? I'll send you the link to the specific U.S. I can cite you the U.S. code.
Sure.
So it's U.S. code 360. BBB dash in parenthesis K. And so that specific, and it's 21 US code. So 21 US code, it says use of emergency use authorized covered medical countermeasures once designated as such by the Secretary of Health and Human Services. Oh, it says March 10, 2020. So when he authorized it, it was March 10, 2020. but it was retroactive to February 4th, 2020, shall not be considered to constitute a clinical investigation. So this says that under this EUA law that was adopted in 1997 and amended in 2003, 2004, 2005, 13, and 17. So of course there's huge pre-planning going on here. When this Health and Human Services declares public health emergency, then the secretary can use EUA covered medical countermeasures. And when they use them, it doesn't constitute clinical investigation, meaning that the FDA has no role regulating it at all. And when they performed these clinical trials for these products, right, it was all theater, because these products cannot have a clinical investigation when they're used by law. And they pretended to have a clinical investigation. So everyone, well, so, they enrolled.
It wasn't even a matter of a badly run clinical trial. It was a pretend clinical trial.
It was a
saying.
Pretend clinical trial. Yes. Yeah. So the relevance of this, and the reason why I'm bringing this up today is, it's extremely important to bring up. But also, we have, if you're aware, there's a big case going on, Brooke Jackson's False Claims Act case. So Brooke Jackson was hired by Ventavia, which is subcontractor to ICON, which was performing clinical trial for Pfizer in the US and internationally. And she was hired in Texas to be a manager at the clinical trial site. And she observed multiple instances of fraud and violations of good clinical practices. And she was very concerned. And this was within 2 weeks. She noticed a lot of bad things. And she reported it first to Ventavia, as she was supposed to. And then when Ventavia didn't do anything about it, she reported it to the FDA. And that's the protocol. That's what you're supposed to do. And, you know, the FDA, and she was, after she reported to the FDA, she was fired within hours, meaning FDA then told her employer to fire her. And since then, and she brought up a lawsuit against Pfizer. And in the U.S., there's this legislation that goes back to President Lincoln, actually, the war times when they were, you know, the government was being sold defective products, and during the war. And so this legislation is specifically designed to protect the government from false claims from suppliers providing defective products and falsely claiming attributes, right? So clinical trial is part of it. If you're doing some things and you're determining safety and efficacy of this, if you're lying about it, that's false claim. So that was, you know, the lawsuit that was brought up, and it's been going on since 2021. And yesterday was a time, like, so the first Pfizer filed motion to dismiss, and saying that, citing one of the contracts that is available now publicly, and saying that under this contract with Department of Defense, actually, so their premise to dismiss was, we're not lying, we're not making false claims, because under this contract with Department of Defense, our scope of work is demonstration of large-scale manufacturing.
It's so essentially the Department of Defense have told the pharmaceuticals how to get away with this as well.
Yes, so they hired them what is demonstration? Demonstration is theater, it's acting, it's performance, it's not real. And so it's not a real thing, a real product. When you go as a salesperson, you do a demo, it's just a demo, it's not the actual thing, right? So that's what they said. You know, we were hired to do a large-scale demo of a large-scale manufacturing. That's it. That's our scope. And, you know, the time went by. Then now U.S. government, you know, for some reason, they filed a statement of interest saying that, you know, no, it should be the case should be dismissed. And so yesterday was the time that the legal team was supposed to file a response to that. And so, you know, I talked to Catherine Watt, and she tried to convince the team to amend their statement saying that, you know, U.S. government is actually lying to Brooke Jackson and all of us with Brooke Jackson, because they are acting as if this is a real clinical investigation, but it's not. And so that was the whole thing. I don't think their lawyers went with that strategy, but that's fine. That, you know, at this point, we just want the case to proceed, and they filed something different from this. Doesn't make it untrue. It's just that that's the strategy they decided to pursue. And we just hope that the case continues and doesn't get dismissed and we can proceed with it. But that's what we're saying to everyone. Brooke Jackson was under impression she was participating in the clinical trial, and she was supposed to monitor it, and she was supposed to report to the FDA when the violations happened. In reality, she was participating in the theatrical performance. And so that's the distinction. And when the regulators like TGA get back to you and say, we reviewed and everything is perfect and it's safe and effective, they're lying to you, they're impersonating a regulator. They have no role.
I'm so glad that you brought that up, because this was going to be my next question. We've just had a situation where our regulators are saying, oh, we didn't know about the risks of myocarditis until 5 months into the trial. These are their words, right? So I have a couple of problems here. Number one, 5 months into the trial is a year ago now almost. So if you knew then, or it is over a year ago, if you knew that then, you should have stopped it immediately when you found out about the risks of myocarditis, first and foremost. That's number one. But number two, what you're telling me is that any statements that they're making are just essentially part of this theater, because they're not actually the regulators. But how does this work, say, for example, here in Australia, when we have these bodies, you know, lawyers are taking them to court, they're getting away with anything that they want, they're not answering to senators. The senators are inquiring in parliament, asking them to answer things directly. They're just shirking, you know, shuffling the answers off and saying, I'll get back to you later, coming back with ambiguous answers. So, from what you're telling me, there is actually no way of holding these people accountable, because they're not actually, unless we target it from a perspective of you're actually an installed liar. That's really what this is, right?
Yes. The only way to go after them, I think, if there is a legal way to do it, is to say you're impersonating an officer, you're impersonating a regulator, when you have no role to play as a regulator.
Amazing, amazing information. We're so grateful for Sasha. We'll be back right after this short break with a quick message from our sponsors at Earth Echo Foods. This broadcast is brought to you by sponsors of the Stu Peters Network, Danette May and Mindful Health LLC, with Danette May's top superfood product from her Earth Echo Foods line, Cocoa Bliss. Nothing feels better than being able to enjoy rich, smooth, creamy chocolate and knowing that you're doing something good for your body. They use 100% organic cocoa beans that are naturally kissed by the sun, maintaining their miraculous health benefits. They then blend it with turmeric, MCT oil, coconut, Himalayan sea salt, cinnamon, and black pepper for the perfect blend. The result? A truly decadent, healthy, guilt-free chocolate which can remove your cravings, facilitate weight loss, boost your energy, and reduce inflammation with one simple drink. Not only that, it's also friendly to paleo, gluten-free, keto, vegan, and vegetarian diets. For the last 8 years, they've been a leader in the superfoods market and have served millions of customers worldwide. Get your money out of big chain products and switch to businesses that support independent media to keep getting the truth out. Available in the United States and in Australia, click the link in the description below and use promo code Maria for 15% off your order today.
When you have no role to play as a regulator. So what they're doing, I think both TGA and FDA at the moment, and I've seen instance, even my colleague just sent me an email from the FDA, exactly the same as you described here. What they're doing is stalling everyone. They're told to pretend to be a regulator so that everyone is distracted and going to them and pleading with them and asking them for information and asking them to act, including our senators too. I worked with Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, US Senator, and did the same thing. He wrote 40 letters and they all unanswered. And that because of that, and you know, our senators are not aware of this. Because this is so, you know, like our Senate, as your Senate, as European Parliament, they vote on these 1,000-page documents that are sent to them a day before. They have no idea what's in them, and this is how all this garbage is being made. They amend the laws like this over time, with these various things, and you know, so I encourage everyone to read Catherine Watts, because she traces it all back, you know, how it was done and when, by which act.
Well, if
So
an Australian lawyer is watching this, or whoever is actually watching this, if you can get this to an Australian lawyer, because I don't understand the intricacies of the legalities around the TGA FDA relationship, or TGA CDC, Atari, whatever, all of these front organizations. I don't understand how in the law here that all works. But if a lawyer is watching, is there. I'm asking someone to take action and see if there's a way based on this information that we can hold Australian specifically bodies accountable in the same way. For those that are watching from the United States, a lot of people in the United States watch this broadcast, but also all over the world. Have a look, contact your legal teams and see if there is some sort of a way based on this info that you are able to then hold these regulators within your own countries to account because they're operating as paid actors. You made the statement as well that Pfizer and Moderna are a front for a much more complex network. And again, this goes back to the contracts that you found with the DoD that essentially are all these other pharmaceutical companies. Can you talk us through that?
Right. So DoD has established numerous ways of contracting with private companies, and this is under this piece of legislation that's called Other Transactional Authority in the US. And one specific one that contracted with Pfizer,
It's okay.
so one spe the specific consortium that contracted with Pfizer, it's called a medical, biological, chemical, radiological, and nuclear defense consortium. So notice the use of words. When you put medical and defense into it, then you can make chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear weapons, and call them medical countermeasures. Okay, so that's how US government does it. That's the same thing they did with, you know, gain of function. As long as you call it something else, it's okay, right?
A research.
It's research, it's just medical research. So under this other transactional authority, Department of Defense can order military prototypes that do not have to be described in any way other than a prototype, from private pharmaceutical companies. So this particular consortium includes currently advertises over 300 members. They're large, small private companies, academic institutions, and nonprofits, including Pfizer. And so this consortium contracted with Pfizer to produce up to 500 million doses of this injection. And so imagine this situation. So we're supposed to believe that you know, within a couple of weeks after announcement of global pandemic, remember, was announced based on just a handful of cases, maybe 40, less than 40 cases at the time, and all of them came from this, you know, fake PCR, not validated diagnostic test. It's not diagnostic, it's just a lab tool. So they declare global pandemic based on 40 falsified cases, in my opinion. And then we're supposed to believe that over a weekend, both Pfizer and Moderna designed this vaccine, and then within a couple of weeks, we have hundreds of contracts for billions and billions of dollars put in place. I mean, it's impossible, you know,
We
to
have we
negotiate.
we have the most comp incompetent people in government, but they were competent enough to do that in warp speed.
I mean, so they just put it in place, and then even more miraculously, within, you know, months, these companies are cranking out hundreds of millions of doses of this very, very novel product that has never been before produced in on a more than a microgram scale. And now they're producing hundreds of liters of it in a batch. So it's just a, you know, a miracle or a Hollywood production, I would say. And so,
I would agree with your second assessment of the situation, Sasha.
yeah. And so, okay. So that's that. So of course, this is, Pfizer has no ability. Like, if you imagine, if you go to a car manufacturer, a big car manufacturer, like say Ford, and you tell them, here's $10 billion, and I need, a million cars within 6 months, new cars. Ford says, well, I don't care how much money, but I don't even have the raw materials of the, for this amount lying around. I don't have the new production lines. I don't have suppliers lined up. I don't even have parking lot to put them in. That's the situation. Now they're telling us, oh, we told a dozen of these manufacturers to do the same thing in parallel at the same time. So again, it's just fiction. What they did, they already had this manufacturing base established through these contracts. We can trace it back to at least 2012. So they've already contracted with these hundreds of companies. They already had all this space. They already set up all these agreements. All they did is just switched it on. By the way, they also practiced all this numerous times. I think Robert Kennedy Jr. said that there were about 20 dress rehearsals for this.
And this is COVID was a dress rehearsal for what they're planning to do in future. What you just said is so crucial, Sasha. It's what I keep telling people. See, these things were implemented, as far as we can tell, at least 2012, put into the law, and then they just enacted it 8 years later, 2020. This is, or 9 years later in, I'm not doing my math properly, am I? 2019, 7 years later, forgive me. Math was never my strong suit. So what they're doing now, the laws that they're implementing now, are going to be weaponized against the people later. And I keep talking about what's happening in Australia. I'm just going to mention it again here, even though it's off track, but it isn't. We're implementing things into our legislation that applies to the whole country that allows for stripping citizens from their homes, ripping them out of their homes, taking them to quarantine facilities, forcefully injecting them against their will, and potentially these people's children as well. It is terrifying what these people are writing into law. And if you think they're not going to use it, you are very, very, very wrong. See, in 2012, when you can identify these contracts, back then, no one would have even imagined what atrocities they would have committed as part of these things being written in. But look now, look down into the future, 2019 and onwards, they've killed millions with these shots that back in 2012 they were writing into law. So what do you think they're going to be capable of if they're writing into legislation now to rip citizens from their homes, take them into camps, forcefully inject them? What do you think is in their minds? You know, putting things in the law to liquefy human corpses for goodness sake. I mean, I know I'm going off track, but I'm really not, Sasha, because this is what they're planning, and they do have a plan to come after anyone that would disagree with them. They started off with censorship, shutting down your social media, shutting down your right to public discourse in this time. Next time, it's not just going to be limited to social media. They're going to come after us in real time, and I mean that sincerely and wholeheartedly, because I can see where this is going. But I
Oh, yeah,
wanted.
absolutely. They have the same law, as you know, that they tried to pull through in New York State. So exact same thing that
Yes.
you're describing. I think they get the script of probably from, I don't know, from China, I think, because China is practicing all these mass terror practice, the
Yes.
practices on their population. And then they say, well, you should do, because they are able to do it right now
Correct.
under their regime. So they probably give notes to our geniuses and yours, and then they write this kind of stuff. And I've seen this. So New York State tried to implement this. Well, exactly what you're saying. I also know in Poland they are trying to do this. It's in the process of being put into Congress bill or whatever the equivalent they have. But in New York State specifically, it was right now it got defeated in court, but the governor is appealing. And I also was told that by a New Yorker, a lady activist, who said, we figured out how these things get written, who writes them. So there is some kind of obscure medical expert committee in New York State, composed of some select unelected Unelected officials. It's always unelected, deep state. This is New York deep state. They meet in the woods, literally. So New York has vast, vast countryside woods, you know, not populated. And she said, we tried to go to this meeting to provide public comment. Only some of us were able to make it because it was very, very hard to find. It's on purpose. Is, you know, advertised as a, you know, there's a, it's a public thing, it's a law drafting, and you can come and, you know, but you can't find it. So these people literally run away into the woods, write this up, and then try to pass it through overnight, like in the middle of the night in Congress, you know, in all these ways so that the public can not possibly notice until it's put into law. Well, somebody did notice, and this really brave attorney, she's a tax lawyer. Bobby Ann Cox, she noticed and she filed a complaint about it, and it was stopped right now. But it's not over. They're still trying, and they're trying everywhere.
And you have to ask yourself why they are trying so hard, why they're working so hard to write into law that people can be taken from their homes, held at facilities, and forcefully injected. They're also, by the way, Sasha, writing things about counseling an individual, which is Orwell's 1984. Yeah, re-education camps. This is what this is. It's unbelievable. And the people, just for everyone listening right now, think, try to conceive in your mind that the people that are writing this are having secret meetings in the woods at night, you know, probably as a ritual. We know that these people are satanic. Yeah. That's a fact. So they're doing some sort of a ritual, getting this, you know, this these words even from their ritual. This is satanic influence that's allowing them to write this into law, you know, in a way that they slip through every single crack. It's so deceitful. It is so evil. And it is clear to me that this is coming from the demonic realm. I say that 100% with certainty. You made the statement recently that this is not just about making money. For anyone who thinks that this is just about money, it absolutely is not. Talk to us about why this is has really ultimately got nothing to do with money and their fake fiat currency system.
Well, absolutely. So and it's even more clear now. It's very simple, actually. So as I described before, there are no laws or regulations that apply to these products. If you are allowed to under EUA to deploy countermeasures on one person's say so because they may be effective. If your objective, so that you have no laws apply to you, no regulations, no practices, no good manufacturing practices. Imagine this scenario. You're allowed to do anything you want. And your only objective is to make money. So if you just want to make lots and lots of money, what you can do here is ship placebo. And that's the most logical way to go. And it's legal. It's legal. You're not violating anything. You can ship placebo in these little vials, inject everyone. Nobody will ever notice any problem. Everybody will think it's a wonderful product, super safe. I would never notice. None of us would notice. We would probably get injected because we'll think, oh, okay, it's very safe. And the COVID would have gone away by itself. It always does. These epidemics self-extinguish. Natural immunity overcomes it always, 100% of the time. Otherwise, we would not be here at all.
Absolutely.
And so it would go away. You can ship placebo. You can make gazillions in perpetuity forever. You would make 3, 5, 10 times more than you've made currently. They've made billions, but they would have made much more money. No resistance would have ever, you know, appeared.
Or maybe some, but there would be no safety signals, and therefore the resistance would have disappeared over time. There'll always be people who are not trusting of vaccines in general, that's fine. They're well within their right to think that way, considering,
of course,
you know.
Yeah, but I would have no problem. I would think that this was a good product, and I would be like, yeah, okay, whatever. I mean, I would object maybe on, you know, forcing me to do it, but as far as, you know, safety and efficacy, I'd be like, yeah, no, it's okay.
Sure.
And so there would be really little resistance to this. And it wouldn't be the vaccine hesitancy that they so, so want to overcome, right? So it's, in a sense, they're self-defeating with this. So that's why I'm saying it's not it's not about money at all. Obviously, it's not. They insist on injuring and killing people.
I purposely pause there because this is ultimately the whole point of what they've done to humanity. This entire pre-planned ploy to put one person in charge of these decisions, get these contracts through the Department of Defense. The Department of Defense? These people are there to defend, not to be doing shifty pharmaceutical contracts. I mean, let's really think about it. This should be, you know, the regulators doing, having due process, reviewing these contracts, not, you know, when they receive pages and pages of blacked out documents, asking the questions, reviewing. This is so complex and sinister, and it all comes down to this one last point, which is that this has been to harm and kill people. We will continue this crucial, crucial interview right after this short break with a word about magnesium breakthrough. This broadcast is brought to you by sponsors of the Stu Peters Network, Bioptimizers. Would you like to dramatically improve the quality of your sleep? Are you irritable or anxious? Do you struggle with insomnia, experience muscle cramps or twitches? There are dozens of symptoms of magnesium deficiency, so these are just a few of the most common. 4 out of 5 Americans are magnesium deficient, and almost everyone is at suboptimal levels. And that's a big problem because magnesium is actually involved in more than 600 biochemical reactions in your body. Now, just taking any magnesium supplement won't solve your problem because most supplements use the cheapest kinds that your body can't actually use or absorb. That's why this broadcast exclusively recommends Magnesium Breakthrough. It's the only full-spectrum magnesium supplement with 7 unique forms of magnesium that your body can actually use and absorb. When you get all 7 critical forms of magnesium, pretty much every function in your body gets upgraded, from your brain to your sleep, pain and inflammation, and, of course, less stress. Visit the link in the description below and enter code MARIA to get a whopping 25% off any order and support your body while supporting businesses that keep independent media going and who actually care about your health. When people finally realize, Sasha, that there is a group of people out there who want you dead, what, you know, that's when your protection instincts come in. I'm not calling for anyone to go out there and start a violent revolution at all. That's not what I'm talking about. But as individuals, when we realize the severity of this plan, we must fight back against this because they're coming. They are coming. If they didn't get you this time in this test run, they will next time. And there are so many different weapons that they have already in place to come after us. I want to ask you before we've still got a bit of time, but and we will get back to that point about what people need to do. But have you and Team Enigma or any of your colleagues actually been able to determine from all of these blanked out pages what is inside the injections?
We still don't know. The only thing I can tell is for sure is that these products do not conform to the manufacturer's labels. So whatever is described in the labels, which we also had to fight for to get in the first place, the ingredients in the labels and the quantities that are stated, none of it is, in most of the time, it's not even close. Sometimes there's something, you know, like mRNA in it, and we can say, yeah, but there are also a lot of impurities, huge amounts of impurities, both genetic materials that are not supposed to be there, and the toxic metals, for example, and other elements, carbon, different types of structures, different types of you know, shapes, materials that seem to self-assemble, or at least they sort of, as it you know, warms up from frozen state, they kind of appear, agglomerate, create these structures. We don't know what that is. And nobody will explain it, and they still insist on, you know, hiding this information and pretending it's a commercial secret. Well, that's nonsense. So we can't tell exactly what's in the vials. We can't say we I can say that they're completely kind of random, inconsistent, very inconsistent. The way they're produced, the way they're distributed and then administered, doses are prepared. It's open to huge amounts of variability. So that's why some people, majority of the people, thankfully, are actually, not injured, or maybe there's some slight issue, but majority of the people seem to be okay. And then, but there's a very significant percentage, I would say about definitely something like 25%, so 1 in 4, have some sort of injury. And then maybe, about 8% are severely injured, and probably about 5% die. And that's in the, I would call short term. And then long term, we don't know. So right now, we know that the mortality is increasing. There are more and more people, there's this died suddenly phenomenon, which is overwhelming. I mean, you can see if you've seen those channels on Telegram and other channels, and even if you just search for died suddenly, you will see every day hundreds of news of young people just dropping dead. Okay. And now even CDC advertises it as if it's a some sort of new discovered condition of young people collapsing in the office. I recently had to go to a local hospital, and there's these brochures plastered on the walls showing young people in office setting or park setting or some sort of activity they were doing, boom, collapsed. The same thing that you see on TV and internet. They're just advertising it as if, oh, this month is sudden adult death awareness month. Yeah, why did it all of a sudden appear in perfect correlation with vaccination rates? Well, that they that's misinformation. You are a conspiracist, and we should shut you down.
For asking a very, very,
For asking straightforward
yeah,
questions.
straightforward questions. The structures that you mentioned that are being found, we have multiple people around the world working on finding out exactly, what it is, how it's forming. I've had, I recall Dr. Mike Eden saying, if I see it with Raman microscopy, I'll believe it's graphene oxide. That was proven, done. Graphene oxide is a conductor, and we have theories as to what we believe this is. I've been working, on interviewing Dr. David Nixon. I also interviewed Dr. Anna Mihaicha, who explains from her perspective and sort of the quantum science behind this. It's fascinating information. If anyone hasn't seen that interview yet, it was aired last week on Uncensored. I recommend everyone sees it. So I want to ask you though, because again, we have all these theories. We have, people saying what this could be, but you've worked in pharma and biotech for most of your life. Have you ever, number one, looked at products under a microscope before and seen anything like this?
Well, I'm not a microscopy expert, but I certainly know that, if you see something of a size that we're seeing, which is under a standard microscope, those are large structures. These are not nanostructures. In an injectable, it's supposed to be considered adulterated right away. That you don't even need to know what it is exactly. If you see some big shapes floating around in the product as during the time that it's supposed to be injected. So let's say under the Pfizer or Moderna instructions, the product can be taken out of the freezer, one dose, the doses can be prepared, and it can sit on the counter for 6 hours, right? So, and within the first 30 minutes, we see these big shapes appear, and they're even there under the microscope, right out of the frozen state. So that already is a reason to throw it out and not use it and call it adulterated. And then the manufacturer, and that's it's a reportable thing from the site if they observe it, and then they're supposed to notify manufacturer and say, I can't inject it because there's stuff floating here. So that's just number one. Now, so I don't know. I've never seen the injections. Actually, I only recently realized that these substances, especially, well, Pfizer in particular, I know, they're not like people think that it's a liquid. It's not liquid. It's a gel.
As in the Pfizer vaccine is a gel.
It's a gel. It's a thin gel. Yeah, but it's a gel, and could be a hydrogel. I think it is. Nobody ever described it that way. They say it's suspension. Okay, I don't know what suspension, what that means, but it's not described like this. And so we don't know what the chemistry is. Nobody does. And it's again, it's not explained. And also, I've seen the images with David Nixon, is a good friend, under microscope. It looks like confetti. Like right out of from the frozen state, you look at it and it just has sparkles and it has all these things and shapes, and then they become bigger shapes. And it's extremely concerning. Again, how can anyone provide informed consent if nobody can understand what this is?
Correct. Again, in your experience, you said not a microscopy expert, but let's talk about, what you've heard through the grapevine, through your experience working in clinical trials. Has anyone ever had to stop a product because of anything of this nature?
Well, yeah, so that's again, that would be the reason to stop it. In fact, actually, in Pfizer own documents that I have for manufacturing, they're saying that the quality control at the manufacturing line is they visually inspect them for visible particles, and they're supposed to take them off the production line. So they themselves tell you that this is a quality issue and we're supposed to take them off.
No, what I'm asking is have in your in the time that you've worked in clinical trials, has a product ever had to have been suspended before for having things that look like this inside of it?
Not specifically like this, but yes, anything visible under microscope that it's in an injectable product would be removed.
My whole
Would be
point
removed.
is, my whole point is, we've never seen anything quite like this.
No, I don't know of any, and we don't understand what the chemistry, what's going on there. So I have no idea.
I wonder whether someone can actually, whether there is a way to assess this gel and every ingredient that's in there, actually isolate the different ingredients and, work out exactly what's in here. Because a lot of people talk about detox, but I know that certain things work in a petri dish. For example, I've had people talk about the fact that ivermectin will actually help with the disassembly of this stuff in the petri dish, which is fascinating. But how can we actually give confident detox advice? As in, this will work if we don't even know 100% what it is.
Well, exactly. And it's very, very hard to work this out because the equipment that you need, well, so Raman, for example, it's a multi-million dollar piece of equipment. To have access to it, you have to, most of it is in the university labs. All the universities have been captured. The universities are like the worst for imposing the vaccine mandates, for suppressing the dissent and doing fraudulent science to support this. So in the US, I can't think of any place where you would be able to go and do Raman. And so actually Raman has been done outside of the US, where they found graphene. Also you need a scanning electron microscopy for sequencing of the for isolation and sequencing of the RNA. You need specialty labs. Again, to get access to it, it's extremely expensive and difficult, and most of it exists in academic institutions that are captured through NIH funding.
Well, if there are any people watching that have access to this stuff, you need to take action. You need to do something, even if it's on your own, and then you contact me through the website as a whistleblower. On zmedia.com, go in there, contact form, whistleblower. If you have access to that equipment and you have isolated it, I'm just openly putting it out there. I will happily give that to the public. And you can remain anonymous because we need someone to actually get to the bottom of this. Sasha, I want to ask you before we wrap up, what is it that you think is crucial for people to do with this information, clear steps that they can take, and also where they can find your work?
Right. So what you can do is, you know, stop, don't get any more shots and resist this and say no. And because it comes down to individual resistance to this, we cannot, by complying, people make it happen. If you don't comply, you stop it. And so everyone is responsible for this. And so we have to stop, don't get any more shots. The only, you know, so for people who have gotten some shots and maybe they're wondering and freaking out and thinking, you know, what have I done and how can I assess the damage? I think, to my knowledge, the reliable way to assess the damage today, one of them, is what's called live blood analysis. It's smeared in conventional medicine, but it's actually a very useful tool. It shows early changes. We see in vaccinated people, a lot of their blood is degraded significantly. But some people, you know, if you have no side effects and you got injections, you have no side effects, but you're still wondering and worrying, well, this is a good way to exclude the damage. You know, maybe you got the watered down shot and nothing really bad happened. So you can assess it and, you know, you can seek. I know some practitioners in Australia are very good about it. So that's a way to look at the live blood. It's just capillary blood on the microscope slide, so nothing particularly involved. And then there are some detoxification protocols, but as you said, we don't know exactly what the ingredients are, so we can't really know what to detoxify. There are general detoxification protocols, which I think are helpful.
Well, they're helpful anyway. I mean, we're exposed to so many toxins and harmful chemicals in our foods. So detoxing regularly is a good practice either way.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a good thing. At this point, especially for Australia, I don't know exactly how to go about it. In the U.S., we're trying to bring, certain legal action, typically on the state and local level, because federal government is so captured. But if you're a lawyer and you're listening, start thinking in the framework of regulators are impersonating regulators. They're faking it, and think about, find ways of going after them for doing so. Or even things like, we ask for FOIA documents and we receive FOIA productions of, clinical trial materials, test results, all these protocols and things like that. Well, those are fake too. So can we go after them for producing props in response to serious FOIA requests and court orders? So that's another angle. And so think about those ideas and how can we go after it. But as far as, my work, I write on Trial Site News articles, and I also have a BitChute channel. It's called Team Enigma. I also highly recommend, again, Catherine Watts, Bailiwick News on Substack. That's a key sort of legal research piece where you can go and look at all of this.
Well, we've just brought up your Trial Site News articles right now on the screen for the viewers, so they can go there and follow. What's your BitChute channel? Sorry,
It's called Team Enigma on BitChute.
Team Enigma for everyone.
Yeah.
I think I'm just writing that down for myself as well. I'm so grateful for all of your time today, Sasha. I think your knowledge is unbelievable, and I'd really love to see more people collaborating with you, because the digging that you've done is truly explosive, and we need to get to the bottom of this. We can't stop, we can't give up. And I think sometimes when we uncover new information, people think, my goodness, it's so much more complex than we thought, it's so much harder than we thought. But no, this is just more motivation to get to the bottom of this and really take these criminals down in the right way. And thank you for doing your part towards that. We really appreciate you.
Well, thank you for inviting me. It was a pleasure to speak, and I'm glad to make new friends. So
absolutely. The people in the Freedom and the Truth community are some of the best people in the world. Thank you again for joining us today.
Thank you, Maria.
The more that I find out about this agenda and the deeper that I dig, the more determined I become to do one of two things. One of those is do everything within my power to defeat them by exposing the agenda in its entirety, educating people on the street. I speak about this a lot, you know, red pilling strangers, asking leading questions, dropping little hints. All of that is crucial to waking up the world, because as Sasha said, and I believe that too, the only way to defeat this is to not comply with their nonsense, be independent from their systems, support organizations that are outside of the globalist matrix, and have your resources ready at home for when the food shortages come. You're not caught in a breadline depending on the government and complying with what they tell you you have to do in order to feed you and your loved ones. Having resources to go off grid if need be, you know, generators, solar power, whatever it may be that is going to help you not depend on them and their systems. Getting money out of banks. I'm not going to give people financial advice, but this is something that I've personally done. Moved whatever small amounts I can into precious metals. I believe in this stuff. I'm doing it myself because I'm not going to be caught in the middle of a financial collapse when they go and wipe everything from my bank account because I haven't behaved, with no resources to trade with, let's say, local farmers, for example. And these are the reasons why we've partnered with certain organizations that have helped me and my household get prepared. And will continue to do so. I'm constantly looking for ways to become independent of what these people, the organizations, you know, big chains and the systems that they have in place that they tell me I need to depend on. No, sir. I will not be depending on any man to tell me. I will depend on the wisdom of God that has taught me to be prepared for difficult times ahead and has blessed me with the ability to do so and the ability to encourage others to do so as well, just like Joseph. So Survival Supplies Australia is where you need to head. If you're in Australia, they have the largest range of your survival needs, including long-term food storage, camping and hiking resources if you need to go off-grid, first aid kits and medical supplies, something that everyone should have on hand. I certainly do. Heaven's Harvest, if you're in the United States, not only long-term food storage, emergency survival food, but also heirloom seeds. We should be doing our own gardening. We should be planting our own food so that we know that we're not eating Bill Gates' GMO toxic products. Have water supplies ready. And if you're in Australia, seriously consider moving your money out of the banks into other areas. And I'm not saying all of it, but into other areas that could protect your wealth. Gold Stackers are the best. They have the best customer service that we have found in the country. We did a lot of research into this before we partnered with them. They are Australia's leading supplier of gold and silver bullion and other precious metals, and we encourage everyone to visit the link in the description below or give them a call and let them know that you've come from Z Media. This is crucial. The more independent that you become from their systems, the more empowered you are. And when you're not living in fear, you can fight the agenda with all your heart and soul and might. Peacefully, legally, for the agents watching. With every single fiber in my being, I will do whatever I can to take these criminals down. Peacefully, legally, for the agents watching. We will never stop doing what is right. And I hope that every single person who's aware of the agenda feels the same way and understands the importance of their independence and their right to doing whatever they want with their food, their money, their resources, their lives, their bodies. No one is going to tell me how I need to live my life. And if more people were determined to stick to that and get out of the matrix that they've built for us, the matrix is an option. They want us to think that it's not an option. It is an option. And the sooner we unplug, the sooner the world can be free. Share this information everywhere. Hopefully, lawyers will start to take this stuff seriously. We need more cases out there. We need more people fighting within the system and outside. That is the reality. Both need to happen. And it's information like this that makes it happen. And we won't stop. God bless you all. and I'll see you on the next episode of Uncensored.